Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Aronimink Golf Club hosts the second major of the golf season.
There is the man of the moment, John Daly.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Our father's 236 yards.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
When I'm drunk.
And Brandon Sprague.
Sober, it's about 220.
PGA Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at LangdonFarms.com.
Let Uncle John take care of that.
Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan. And the Fan Sports Network. Hello, good morning. Happy Tuesday, everybody. How we doing?
What is
happening? Nice to see you this morning, Andrew.
Hello, it's good to be here, Brandon.
Yeah, feeling good.
Feeling good. Start of the week good.
Yeah, you know, it's all right.
Yeah, we got a car crashing into a house up here. Look at this. This is why you watch local news, dude. You learn something new every day.
Yeah, we have a new streaming service in our studios now, so we're watching like some of the local news. It was, for whatever reason, on our old one. Program to Eugene News.
It was really weird. Yeah, the really only news odd. Channel we would get would be KZI, and I'd turn it on and be like, I don't, you know, hey, good for Eugene, good for the Springfield area, but I don't really need their local news. I want to know what's happening in Tualatin right now.
Well, it was a big night for the Ducks last night.
It was a big night for the Ducks last night.
Huge, the Oregon Ducks.
Yes, huge night. Massive. Big night.
You know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about, though.
Dylan the Villain, courtside, to watch LeBroni lose.
That's right. He was there to laugh him down. See you later.
Lechoke.
Couldn't even win a game in the second round.
A lot of ice.
Get out of here, Lechoke.
Does Dylan Brooks have any of his own teeth?
No.
Massive grills.
No, he does not. Yeah. I think those are all gone. Let's get fake teeth in there.
Now, I can appreciate
the troll there. I appreciate that.
But also, I love, like, Phoenix Suns fans are like, extend him now.
They want him back.
Shoot us into the sun. This is great. And I'm like, you guys lost pretty overwhelmingly to them in the last round. Why are you there to celebrate?
Yeah, that's a little weird.
It's an odd look.
I get it. I also understand, like, I think he's the kind of guy that if he's on your team, and he had a good year. Like, you got to give him credit there.
He did have a good year, yeah. Like, we did give him credit.
In the past Dylan Brooks years, it was like, dude, you're not worth the trouble. You don't score. You don't do anything. You're just getting tossed out of every other game. But this year, when he was an actual scorer, I think those guys become fan favorites for their organization. The feisty guy who's talking trash to LeBron. Like, if we had that guy on our team.
So let me ask you.
We would definitely love them. We don't want to trade guys who are on G League rosters.
The Timberwolves are on the verge of eliminating the Spurs. And Denny Avdia is sitting courtside smiling like a maniac at Wemby.
Yeah.
Are we loving that, or we lost? What are you doing? We are still playing.
That's how I would feel, but I think there would be fans that would love it.
You think we'd love it?
This shows he's got that dog in him. He's got that dog in him.
Yeah.
Okay? Look at that, Denny. Denny taking notes on how to knock him out next year. Mm. They don't have that dog in him. San Antonio's too young.
You're probably right. Like, I think there's always going to be some portion of a fan base that loves when their players do that.
Yeah.
I just laugh that people are like, oh, my God, look at him trolling LeBron. And I'm like, LeBron has owned that dude in his entire career.
It's LeBron James. He is the greatest or second greatest player in the history of the NBA.
I mean, Dylan
Brooks is a footnote.
How do you
There's
come
no
back,
comparison here.
How do you come back and in good conscience actually try to troll somebody when you did the I poke bears and then he dropped 40 and you didn't talk the rest of the
That's
series?
That's the whole point of being a troll, though, man. Like, facts don't get in the way of a good troll. You don't let new information and actual evidence get in the way of limiting your trolling abilities. Sure. You can't stop. Once you're down that road, that car is going one direction and one direction only at
That's
full
a one
speed.
Way.
It's a one-way road, man. It doesn't stop. Pat Beverly was the same way. When he would clap when Dame would miss free throws, and then Dame immediately pointed out after the game, yeah, because he was on the Rockets roster when I hit a shot with .9 and knocked him out of the playoffs.
That's very fair to point out. The trolls ever good players?
Ooh.
I mean, like, really good players.
Ooh. That's like a good
franchise
question.
Level player. Like, who's the best franchise level troll?
KD.
Who does KD troll, though? He's trolling fans.
I feel like KD trolls his own team.
Yeah, he trolls his own team with burners.
Yeah. That's a really good question.
Jordan used to make up stories.
He would.
But is that trolling? Or is that like being
maniacal? That was how he motivated
himself. That was just being psychotic.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like a legitimate troll superstar level player.
Superstar, I don't know if you'll find it. I don't. What was the thought of Bill Laimbeer as a player?
Not superstar.
Definitely not a superstar.
Really good role guy.
Good role guy?
Well, see, you know, he was an all-star a couple of times.
Was
on
he?
Those. I'm pretty sure.
I'll look it up.
Because I think you got to find,
when the Bad Boys were winning titles.
He made an all-star
game
sure or two.
I'm sure he gravy-trained one or two.
He gravy-trained
The same way Jerome Kersey gravy-trained one.
You take him to get him. Maybe. It doesn't matter how you get it. You take it.
Mercy.
Hey.
Mercy. He is a four-time all-star and obviously two-time champion. Yeah. And then
how many all-star games has Draymond Green been in? Not that that's the
not as many as you might think.
Yeah, probably not a ton, I'd
imagine. Two or three, maybe?
I mean, he's never winning a fan vote.
He will never do it.
How many times do you think he's been?
I'd say twice.
He's been as many times as Bill Laimbeer.
Four?
Ah.
Is Draymond Green slightly better Bill Laimbeer?
Yes. More effective offensively because of his ability to pass. Not as a scorer.
Is that fair to Bill because
of
the
era? No, it's not fair because the game was so different.
Yeah, it's a different game.
That's
Bill,
fair.
Set screen, punch man in face. Yeah. That's your job.
Clothesline guy in paint.
I don't think Draymond in 88 is doing the same stuff he's doing now, you know?
No, he's definitely not.
So Bill Laimbeer and Draymond Green are almost the same player.
Can you think of a player who's a troll that's better than that? Because they were good players.
But he's not
a troll.
He's a franchise guy, but he's not a superstar, you know? I'm
Laimbeer wasn't a troll,
superstar.
Though. He told you he was going to lay you out before. Yeah. It wasn't cryptic or it wasn't.
No.
Is Draymond sitting courtside to. Like, he was at the random Detroit and Cleveland game two, but he doesn't have a beef with anybody.
No.
Is Rodney still there?
No.
Rodney. If Rodney's still there, then maybe that's a bit of a troll. But if Rodney.
He was at the. He randomly showed up at the Kevin Hart roast the other night, too.
Yeah.
Why is Draymond Green at the Kevin Hart roast?
I think we can't find one.
Why do we need to fold athletes into this?
Kevin Durant might be the best example of what the closest you could get to a troll is as a superstar.
Yeah, but I just don't think he does it against other players very often.
He literally does it against his own team. You're so right on that.
It's causing issues again in the Houston locker room.
Yeah.
Because they read the burner tweets and it's like, wait a minute, that's how you feel about us?
Now,
way to let the truth out, buddy.
The funny truth about Dylan Brooks and LeBron, because he had the eye poke Bears thing a couple years ago with the Grizzlies, and obviously he's always... He's basically the new Lance Stephenson.
Yeah, he took over. Lance Stephenson,
Deshaun Stephenson.
Yeah, so Dylan Brooks could run.
Yes. He is a massive LeBron fan.
Yeah.
He went to his camp coming up through high school, and he has, like, quotes. He's like, dude, he's my favorite player. I love that guy. But it's a weird thing he's doing. It's almost like he's doing it for admiration from LeBron.
Yes, he's trying to earn the respect.
The
he
only
wants
way
to stand
get your attention,
out.
You know what I mean?
If he's not poking bears, he doesn't know who Dylan Brooks is.
You know who Dylan Brooks
is? A dozen player in the NBA. Challenged offensively, decent size, doesn't do a lot to impact the game.
Hold on.
There's like 10 of those guys on the floor every night.
Hold on. I got to find this.
I love the idea, though, of like worshipping a guy, essentially, and then turning around and trying to become the troll.
Dylan Brooks to LeBron is Stacy to Wayne in Wayne's World. A gun rack. I don't own or possess a gun.
Let alone many guns that would
necessitate
require
a gun rack. Yeah. So what do I need a gun rack? Dylan Brooks is the Stacy to Wayne. That's exactly what this is. He actually loves him.
There's a weird level of psycho going on here, man.
But he's finding a way to always, hi, Wayne, hi, bam, right into a car. And now he's on the sidelines laughing with his grills in.
My favorite thing, thinking about it locally, is that I don't think it'll ever happen. He's probably going to be back in Phoenix. I don't know what his contract is, but all the negativity that he certainly gets and certainly deserves, because he is one of the most disliked players in the entire NBA.
And I think he loves that about
him. And he loves it. Like,
it.
He welcomes welcomes it. That's the role that he's carved out, and that's his niche in the NBA. And to his credit, like, it's made his name more recognizable than it would have been had he not been a troll to every team in the NBA.
Sure.
But all the negative comments, the second that guy, if he ever came to Portland and had one game where he was this kind of pest, like clapping, like imagine playing OKC and he's clapping in SGA's face, and we somehow win the game, he would be immediately the biggest fan favorite in this market.
27.5%. And I know this because I've polled. 27.5%
internal
polling data reveals that 27.5% of Blazer fans still love Zach Collins for saying "F you ho" to Klay Thompson one time.
Yeah.
And that guy did nothing for us.
When the Jared Dudley interview news came out, many people, I had forgotten that he was the one that was involved in the Nurkic injury.
What do you mean he was involved? On the court?
Like he was on the floor.
Was he the one that fell down?
I think he fell down that Nurkic stepped on. It was something along those lines.
We're blaming Jared Dudley for the bone going through Nurkic's leg?
This is how we operate as a fan base.
I thought we were more upset with the ref that night because he kind of just walked over him.
Then it was the Nuggets, eventually the Nuggets play-by-play guy, remember, who had a line about like hitting him in the leg or something or take him out.
Scott Hastings?
Yeah, when he's sitting, remember that? We played the audio, the TV guy, and he was like, if he's over on the bench, go hit him in the knee or hit him in the chin. I can't remember what he said, but that guy became a villain too.
Yikes,
like we
dude.
Remember that level of detail. That's the kind of fan base that we are.
Yeah.
We're not going to forget that.
No.
What if Jared Dudley comes out and starts 10-0 next year as our new head coach?
So you're right. If ever I see the Zach Collins FU ho video.
I mean, it's a great video. It's a hell of a line.
It's Zach Collins to Klay Thompson. Am I the only one missing the mark here of, like, are we not recognizing who is who in here in this video?
I mean, that's the whole point, though. If it's if you got to be the same level.
Point.
Yeah, if you got to be the same level player, not many people control Klay Thompson. You got to be able to, you know.
I more laugh at the player who's nowhere near the other player trolling
the guy. Punch
above
your weight class, man.
I mean, what do you mean punching above? He's stepping on a stool and then jumping up to punch above. That's the career difference. That was what Zach Collins to Klay Thompson was.
He definitely became, that was his best moment as a Blazer. And it's not even debatable.
It's not, no, it's
because
not
there's
close.
Only one moment to really choose from. I can't name a single play that he ever made in a Blazer uniform.
I was going to say, what's even in the running for number
two? I have no idea. He was terrible and he still is terrible.
Awful.
And he can't stay healthy. That was the only moment that I remember from his entire career.
We'll do that as an early 6 a.m. rise and shine poll. Was Zach Collins' best moment as a Blazer when he said F-U-O?
Yeah. And then follow up, can you name one moment from his playing career? Any highlight?
Yes or no should only
just
be the
yes
answer.
Yes or no nuance. Can you name me one highlight from his playing career? Do you remember a shot? Do you remember a layup? Do you remember a block? Like, even for some of our other busts or bad players, like, you have memories or moments of, like, Myers Leonard is this way. Myers Leonard sucked mostly in his NBA career.
He had
career.
Game moments,
and
though.
Then he had moments. Yeah. Like, dude, I'll never forget the conference finals when he went off.
I couldn't believe it. I was in attendance, and I'm like, this is unbelievable.
He can't miss.
He had 25 points at halftime.
At halftime. He was carrying us offensively. So for as bad as he was, and he was out of the NBA like 4 minutes later, for varying reasons, he at least had a couple of moments as a player.
Do Zachs internally argue with themselves about if it's a CH or a CK?
Probably. What's the real way to spell it?
Like, is Zach Collins a CK or a CH?
I think he's a CH.
Yeah. I'm putting it with a CH.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's better than the CK.
Z or CH is usually then a shortened version of Zachariah.
Mm. Not Z-A-C-K?
Z-A-C-K, I think, is
Zachary?
Just Zachary.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know what the difference there was until you said that.
If I were a Zach, I would want to be a C-K. Mm. That just would be my... I would hope
I
to be
like
a
C-K. C-H.
You're a C-H fan?
Yeah, Zach.
Zach.
I'd like when people jokingly would call me Zach.
There's no interpretation of a C-K in how you say it.
No, there certainly is.
No, that's Zach.
There's no ambiguity there.
No, there certainly isn't.
How do we pronounce this thing?
Hard C.
Now,
that's
when did
a hard C and a hard K.
When and who did we... Basically, the origin of troll. Who was the human that, like, started the troll stories?
Ooh.
And we busted out, like, oh, you're being a troll.
There had to be somebody way back in the day.
It had to be the ugliest MF-er of all time that was constantly popping off. Like,
you're
go back
shots
under your
again,
bridge.
Dude? I'm Caesar, man. You can't take shots at me. Do you know who I am? You can't take shots at
it
Caesar.
It had to have been from, like, that era,
somebody
right?
Somebody way back in the day, just punching above their weight class, and everybody had to sit them down and tell them to shut up.
I'm thinking of, like, Lord of the Rings type era.
Lord of the Rings. rings.
Like troll. Like, yeah, where does that come from? You're being a troll?
I don't know. That's a good thing to look up early in the morning. What is the original nature that word was used? Like, when did it become a part of the American lexicon?
That's a great question.
Oh, when it came to mean, because obviously trolls
were trolls under
little
the bridge
creatures, and they were by the bridges.
Yeah, but who made those up?
Like, was trolling a thing when you were like? When do you remember trolling coming about?
No, I don't. No, the only thing I remember from trolls growing up was those stupid little dolls
with the hair.
with the hair, yeah, the troll dolls.
This says
so. I don't know when.
I know it's more of a modern thing.
Well,
I just can't
remember.
It's
very much a modern
thing. So the trolling is two different. So we're doing two different things here. Trolls are like weird, ugly-ass creatures that live under bridges.
Right.
Which I'm pretty sure is like a class divide that somebody created with somebody didn't have a home back in the day.
Look at these homeless people under the bridge.
Yeah.
Trolls.
Well, trolls. And then what we're talking about is trolling, which is actually the origin from fishing, because you're throwing something out in hopes as you move to bait somebody in.
Bait them in.
To hook them.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Look at this.
But it's weird. We combine.
We put them together.
We do, because we're calling it trolling, but then we're like, oh, he's a troll.
Yeah, nothing makes sense in the English language.
No, it doesn't.
No, it would be absolute hell
so
to have to learn our language.
Someone who is trolling would be a troller.
Yes. No. Yes, not a troll.
Nobody's ever going to call somebody a troll.
Exactly.
Troller.
Nobody's going to call
it's
anybody
not a troll.
It's not as cool.
But I think that's the correct that's the correct use of the word.
If we were going to apply
looking for approval from our professor
proper English to slang
in our term paper,
yeah.
Troller is the proper use of it.
All right, give me a second here. I'm posting the poll question.
Okay, we're getting one up early this morning.
I was saying FUHO to Klay Thompson, the best moment of Zach Collins' Blazer career.
It's not even close.
It's not even
close. Not even debatable.
Yeah.
By the way, he averaged 9 points a game last year in Chicago. Fun fact.
How many games did he play?
I have no idea. I just looked up the spelling of it to confirm it was a CH and a stat line
showed
up.
I'm
wonder
not
if
being Sprague serious
could
here.
Average 9 points for the Bulls last season.
I mean, you throw me out there and get a couple shots a game.
You can get three threes up.
Dude, he played, by God.
25?
10.
Yeah. 10 games?
The last 2 years, he's played a total of 38 games. He has not played more than 36 games. Oh, no, that was a combined season. Never mind. Last 2 years, he played 36 in Sacramento and then traded to Chicago, played 28. And then this year, he only played 10 games for the Bulls.
I don't mean to troll here, but I'm legitimately, I can't even think of a single play and moment in his career.
I got nothing. I got nothing.
Not a game.
And I can remember a lot of moments from a lot of players.
You love to cite. I mean, you probably do it too much, to be honest with you.
Mm.
Hey, remember that game, Ed Simons? Four games, bro.
Costas Wemby?
Yeah. But you remember it.
I remember it.
Because everybody was like, oh, my God. Remember the Memphis game? He went to overtime and beat the Ja Morant Grizzlies, who were really good that year.
And I was the thief of joy telling everybody, you know, we should think about the bigger picture here, and getting an extra ping pong ball might be more impactful than winning a game before the All-Star break for a basketball team that's supposed to be tanking.
Look, your name on this show is already your nickname. Your real nickname is the thief of joy.
Yes.
Because when a team is good and fun to watch, you're like, I hate him. They're terrible. Wemby, he's awful. I hate him. He's the worst guy ever. You are constantly a thief of joy.
Yeah, I like to bring up facts. It'd be nice to have that guy instead of being the seventh seed and bouncing the first round by that guy. I'll continue to be the thief of joy because I'm correct.
So if Scottie Scheffler wins the PGA, are we done with Scheffler?
Yeah, who's the golfer that you make a heel turn on?
Because
it ain't going to be Rory.
No, Scotty's not there for me yet.
What Scotty can do?
Golfers are different though because there's four majors a year. Like it's different when you get.
But you hate Bryson.
I do hate Bryson.
Bryson won.
Bryson's a giant douche, and I can't stand it.
Yeah, the douche.
Okay. He's the one that easily I will root against. Okay. Outside of that, like Patty Reed winning again would suck. I don't like Patty Reed.
But are you?
But it's not
kind
like,
of indifferent on Patty
it's
Reed.
Like whatever.
He's
dude.
Not going to ever be a stable, consistent winner.
No, he will not be a dominant figure in the golf world.
Justin
ever
Thomas.
Again. I'm okay with JT winning another one. It'd be weird if he won three PGAs and no other majors. Like,
yeah.
I mean, win something else, JT?
If you win three PGAs and no other majors, you didn't win any majors.
Three PGAs or one Masters, what would you rather win?
One Masters. Not even close. Give me five PGAs or one Masters. I want one Masters. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Scotty, the only thing that I hate about Scotty is when he wins, like the way he won the PGA last year, and it's like over on the seventh hole on Sunday. That sucks. That's the thing.
That's not his fault.
No, that's him being the great, you know, golfer of this generation. But it sucks as a fan. Like this is There's only four of these a year, and I got 12 holes left on a Sunday, and I don't care to watch the last 12 holes.
Let's play a quick fun game before we wrap our first segment up. Okay? I want both of you to have your microphones on, and I'm going to throw out the number of PGAs to one Masters. You say yes, get rid of the PGA.
Am I allowed any more context of other majors won?
No.
These are the only majors that I've won?
These are the only majors. Okay. One PGA or one Masters?
Masters.
Two PGAs, one Masters.
Masters.
One Masters.
Three PGAs, one Masters.
I think this is my breaking point last one. I say Masters.
Psychotic.
Yeah, I'll take the Masters over three, but by the time you get to four, I'll take four majors.
Are you stopping at three, Swigard?
Yeah.
I hate to tell both of you this because you're the golf nuts here. Nobody remembers who wins the PGA. You will forever be remembered
as a Masters
champion. Champion.
We're actually on a pretty good run of the PGA. Scotty literally won it last year. You don't remember Phil Mickelson winning at Kiwa Island?
That one I remember.
Remember Brooks Koepka winning three PGAs?
Not all of them. I didn't remember that Scotty won last year until I saw a highlight on SportsCenter last night.
It's because he ran away with it and everybody turned it off on Sunday
because it's the PGA.
He was up by seven shots.
That's a you problem.
That's a you problem.
No, it's a sport.
If it's Scotty and Rory in the final group, we will remember the championship.
You give me the best scenarios on that major. Yeah, I'll remember any tournament with the best scenario.
I mean, acting like you don't remember any PGA championship is very disingenuous.
It's far and away the least important
major. You can make
an
argument of the last 7 years, one of the biggest major wins was Phil winning at Kiwa Island at the age of 50.
But that's the accomplishment of age, not the major.
But the point is, you're saying we don't remember PGA champions, and he was a PGA champion, and we remember it.
You continue to give me one.
Okay.
I don't think most people remember it was Scotty last year.
I think most people do who follow golf.
Yeah, golf
that
nerds.
Was a pretty big deal that he
won another
major. I'm
talking about the everyman here. I'm speaking
the everyman.
The everyman
doesn't matter. I don't care about the everyman.
You should. Invite the everyman into your golf club, you hoity-toity little bitch, you little troll.
We're trying to, and you don't want to watch the tournament.
No.
We're welcoming you with open arms to watch the golf.
Have better tournaments. All right? This is your problem, not mine. We have a loaded show today. Vote on the poll question. Let's get it going. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, nailed the bingo card yesterday. Told you the Lakers would lose. They almost won, but they lost.
Competitive till the end.
At least they fought. Philly just rolled over and died.
Usually happens in an elimination game.
And in doing so, the game ends, and I told you exactly what was going to happen because anybody with a brain watching the guy for 20 years knew LeBron was going to tell you, I don't know what my next step's going to be. I don't know what's coming for my future.
Mm-hmm.
So if, like, that was really hard to figure out. But I was reading an article yesterday before the Thunder-Laker game, and I've come to a conclusion that while I don't like some of the foul-baiting stuff that they do, I do agree with the sentiment that we are just making them villains almost out of nothing.
Yeah, that's definitely something.
And Steve Kerr talked about this when he was in the middle of the Warrior run, and he's since talked about it more post the Warrior run of, yeah, everybody loved us in 15. We were kind of the darlings of the league. We won the title randomly. And then in 16, everybody loved us because we were breaking the record, and it was kind of a cool thing.
You followed it all regular season long.
And he, as the head coach, was like, I could kind of feel the shift when the Cavs beat us in game five.
Yeah.
He said, when they beat us in game five, I could literally feel the shift of America.
Pulling for Cleveland
and LeBron to win. And then we became the villain. And then they won, and then we added Kevin Durant, and it only added to us being more of a villain. And he said basically his point is like that any team in any sport that starts winning and how quickly we make them villains, I just think the funny thing is they've only won one title. Now I certainly think they're going to win two, but they've only won one title. And on the journey to the second one, I think a lot of people have found no, I really hate this team. I don't want them to do this. When we haven't had a repeat winner since the KD and Golden State Warriors.
That's the last time we had one. And I also like it's a spot on when things turned on Golden State. Because I think most people rooted for, and I even did the first time. They played Cleveland in the finals. And I wouldn't say hate sunk in, but there was an element when they won that first title of there was no Kyrie Irving or Kevin Love in the finals. Mm-hmm. They both got hurt. And it was like, well, yeah, you won one, but it wasn't. It wasn't even strength, and it wasn't their fault, but that was a bummer coming out of that finals of like, damn, how could that have turned out had Cleveland been healthy because LeBron played at an all-time level.
They were in six with Timofey Mozgov and Matthew
Dellavedova playing. So it's just like that was the anger coming out of that series that you were, you know, hey, what Golden State has built was incredible. It just sucks that you won that title when the other team was shorthanded. Same kind of goes for the Toronto title when they beat Golden State. Like if Golden State's healthy in that series, Toronto ain't winning that championship, but I'd love to have seen how it played out. The absolute turn came the next year when everybody rooted for LeBron to come back, I think, unless you're one of these weirdo anti-LeBron people, because you wanted to see Cleveland win a title. He went home. Like, it just was a heartwarming story, and that's maybe the greatest NBA Finals of my life, right? Like, that series was incredible.
Phenomenal
series. It's an iconic moment that I'll never forget, and it's TV ratings that I don't know if the NBA will ever be able to match again for the foreseeable future. The next offseason, you added the best player, one of the best players in the sport.
Yes.
And you texted him complaining that we won 73 games, lost in game 7 of the NBA Finals. We need you to come join us. You didn't need him to come join you. You just won 73, and you already had a title. And they became very easy to hate. The OKC stuff, look, I love ranting and raving about the flopping and the complaining and all this stuff, but a lot of NBA teams do it. Our best player does it constantly throughout the course of a game, 80 nights a year, however many he's going to play.
Yeah.
I'm part of it for me, and I can't speak for anybody else. One, it's just kind of fun to hate teams that win. I enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
The other part is there's also like a how lucky could you possibly get? And it's great. It's great foresight on their part of the trades that happened and how it all went down. But just the way everything kind of fell into their lap, there's undoubtedly a jealousy there. But it's also just like how could all those stars possibly align for you to build this to where you're still getting top 10 picks in the draft? You realize they have 2 picks in the top 16 this year.
Yeah.
I think they have the 10th pick and the 16th pick in the draft. And an incredibly, like, how is this possible? The good things keep happening
to you.
You're
in a roster spot.
Like, what? You already have the 19th guy on your bench averaging 15 a game. You don't need any more. And so I think that's part of it, too, for the hatred.
The funny thing is watching that broadcast last night, and D-Wade was like, you know, AJ Mitchell looks a lot like Brunson. And I was like, oh my God, he's right. Do they have Brunson on their team who's just now emerging as a star that nobody knew at the start of the season?
Yep.
You want to talk about Denny's contract being great? You want to talk about Veet Krejci's contract being great? AJ Mitchell just helped close out LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yes,
he's making $3 million a year. It is right now one of the best value deals in the league because of the emergence of his play.
That's not even debatable. He's only 23 years old. He's 6'4". And in this series,
That's a dude that other organizations are going to go
salivate over.
He could be our Brunson. He legitimately could be a guy that, like, we may overpay and we may regret.
But he could be a guy we build around.
He's on this stage and he's hitting those shots and he's playing like this against Austin Reeves. Like, yeah, man, that's what teams want. That's how you get more capital. I would actually push back on this.
He, by the way, in this series averaged 22.5 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds, and shot 56% from the floor.
He was debatably the best player. It was unbelievable.
He's a guy at the start of the year that I think, talk about the outside the bubble. I don't think half the people watching the game last night had heard about him 6 months ago.
I think you're right.
Or even knew the name. I don't even know who this guy is.
I knew people who didn't know who Cason Wallace was a week ago.
He's going for 20.
And that guy's at least playing.
28, 12 of 19 from the floor in a closeout game.
Here's my thing.
They must be stopped.
I think you are right to some extent of, like, you have to have some luck break your way. The SGA becoming the MVP and debatably the best player in the league.
Yeah, nope. I mean,
That's luck that broke your way. But everything else,
it's just hitting on your picks.
It's hitting on your picks. Yeah. It's doing good value trade. It's like almost everything about them, and I get, again, the flopping is annoying.
Yeah.
But everything about them sans the SGA becoming the MVP, you kind of have no choice but to tip your cap and go, dude, that guy's operating the best of anybody in the league in terms of how he's running the organization.
It's not even debatable. They might be the best. What they have built and the way they're operating right now might be the best-run organization in the history of the NBA. Like, to do it in the modern era with
how I gotta think about that, because you might have a
point
here.
With the difficulty of keeping guys under contract, and now we have these new tax floors, and if you go over, like, we'll see how it works for them financially in the long run. I wouldn't be surprised if they pivot and say, hey, one of these big contracts, get out of here. We'll lower our tax bill because we have all these young players on cheap contracts. Again, not to mention the 10th and the 16th pick. Like, it's insane that they're doing this in the modern NBA. This is an era that largely Adam Silver has tried to drive a wedge between, you know, joining up with other superstars and building super teams, and they have found a way to do it.
The other thing is, too, with the apron stuff now and the salary cap that everybody talks about, the interesting thing is, you talk about driving a wedge, it makes it harder for a lot of teams to stay together longer because you don't want to pay that second tax bill.
Yeah.
OKC is 8-0 in the playoffs. They haven't lost, and they haven't had J-Dub play one game for them.
Nope.
He's in street clothes.
They could win an NBA championship without him, and he coming in.
Oh, I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Their second or third best player, depending on what you prefer.
I'll ask you this, because it's like, not only have they struck on so many stuff, on so much stuff. But you look at the way that they're built. Who was their second best player in this series? Who was their third best player in this series? If you were to just default and say SGA and Chet.
Yeah, one and two.
It's probably AJ Mitchell.
Probably.
The guy wasn't getting high-level minutes 2 months ago.
No.
They are legitimately 12 deep. Like, not just, oh, the 10th and 11th and 12th guy. They can play, like, you know, a couple minutes here and there. Legitimately 12 players who can play. Isaiah Joe doesn't even really play for him anymore.
No.
Wiggins doesn't even really play for him anymore.
Yeah, and those guys could play 20, 25 minutes
easy
on most NBA teams.
On 70% of the rosters, Isaiah Joe and Wiggins could play 20 to 25 minutes for 70% of the rosters. They don't even crack rotations.
Nope. Don't need them.
It's an embarrassment of riches, to your point. Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Andre Iguodala,
Bogut,
right? Like, these are names we were all very familiar with coming out of college into the draft. Now,
for
Draymond
sure
busted in a way, or hit on a way that nobody quite saw.
But he was a big-time college, like at Michigan State,
big-time
we knew
college
who he
guy.
If you watched college hoops, you knew who he was.
I might have to agree with you, and they haven't even won the chip yet. I think the Knicks can give them a real series. I do, and maybe the Spurs beat them.
Yeah, Indiana did last year.
But I think it's fair to talk about today. They are 8-0. And even in their games they don't play well, they still end up pulling out 12 players deep in this era. Dude, they legitimately might lose Jalen Williams this offseason, because why do we need to keep paying you?
If you smoke your way to an NBA Finals and you have one lottery pick and one pick just outside the lottery this upcoming year,
yeah,
I would trade him.
Why do you feel pressed?
Why would we
pay this?
Let's
get more stuff out of
this.
Yes,
let's trade him, get a couple more draft picks, just keep turning it over, keep building the way that you should.
It's why people putting Giannis in the trade stuff with it, I was always like, why?
Yeah.
I said this with him. Me and him got into a debate 2 years ago of, should they make a move? Now, he kind of proved to be right in the sense of, like, they couldn't win it without a bigger move. But I was like, why not just see what they are in the playoff run?
Yeah, let it run.
And they kind of blew the Dallas series. They were right there with Luka that year.
They just
lost in six. And what'd they do the next year? They ran it back and won the title.
My only saving grace for them right now, because, you know, I'm in a weird spot. I don't know who I'm going to root for in the conference finals. I've leaning OKC, but that makes me feel dirty to say that. The only thing that's kind of keeping me hopeful is that not having Luka, obviously, is a massive impact on this series. The Lakers don't win this series.
Oh, I agree with you.
But just how does it look, right?
Yeah.
Like, they steamrolled the Suns, who
not good.
Get out of here. And then you got a guy averaging 35 a game, not playing in the second round. And the Lakers' best player had to be a 41-year-old who's having a hard time walking probably at this time of the year. And they just got their second best player back off injury, and he was really bad the first couple games
right.
of the series. So that's the only saving grace. But yeah, as of now, they appear to be destined to end this break or this run of seven different champions. And I think the scariest part about all of it is they're doing it without a guy who is their second best player. And if they win this one with their future assets, like they're not going
started.
Anywhere
yep.
for the foreseeable future.
So the Thunder in the Lakers series. Let's hear from LeBroni on the other side, Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.
Hey y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you
it's
get your
reality.
Podcast.
Let's love.
Lane Kiffin left Ole Miss because black people don't like Oxford.
Wait till you look up why the LSU football team's named the Tigers.
Oh, man, that's going to be uncomfortable, isn't it?
Google that one.
On my work computer?
You can do it on your work computer, yeah. I mean, it's not...
Yikes. You know, you just even suggesting that makes me nervous. I got to be honest with you, Andrew.
It just became very ironic yesterday based on the arguments that he was making of why he left Ole Miss.
Well, there's numbers.
People immediately pointing out, do you realize why they're the LSU Tigers?
I got to be honest. I never knew. I just thought they picked an animal.
No, the Tigers was a unit in the Confederacy of the Civil War that was from Louisiana, and they called themselves the Tigers from Louisiana. And in the late 1800s, the university adopted the nickname based off of the Confederate soldiers embracing their past and their Southern pride. Similarly to the way that Ole Miss, I think they still do. Do they still fly a Confederate flag? Or do they take that thing
down? It's definitely got to be a Confederate flag at those
tailgates.
Some
of them calm down. I don't know if all of them
They're definitely
come down.
At the tailgates.
At the tailgates, they are for sure up, yes. But I don't know. Like, I think it used to be legit, like, the flag of the university. Mm. I don't know if that's the case anymore. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But people immediately pointed out, like, yeah, let's you realize Louisiana's in the South, too? Like, you know, all right.
Yeah, there's also what's been happening in the state of Louisiana with voting maps and whatnot. They did get exclusive audio from the day they picked the Tiger name.
Ooh.
And all it represented. It wasn't long, but they captured what one of the people in Louisiana said.
Here we go, man! Here we go!
it's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Like 1874. Hey, let's call ourselves the Tigers. All right. Let's do it, man.
We'll dive into some college football stuff coming up here at the top of the hour. Something hilarious happened in baseball yesterday, and I also want to talk a little baseball.
Ooh, let's do it.
Before we do that, though, let's kind of put a pin in our basketball stuff here with one last segment on it.
Mm-hmm.
So LeBron has been eliminated. The Lakers have been eliminated. Austin Reeves came back late in the playoffs and just wasn't really that great in his comeback. Had a couple moments, but largely I thought wasn't quite Austin Reeves.
No.
Luka admitted what everybody, I think, with a brain knew. He wasn't close to coming back. I don't know why all this reporting was coming out that he was close if they had a deep run.
Yeah.
But LeBron and the Lakers get swept last night by the Thunder. It's over. I loved everybody putting up the funny memes of LeBron and Bronny became the first father-son duo to be swept in the second round of the NBA playoffs in league history. I saw another one that I thought was really funny. Was like Michael Jordan was never swept in the second round of the NBA playoffs in front of Jessica Alba. I mean, there was some really good ones out there.
That's pretty solid.
And I love LeBron, but I also love the internet sometimes.
Yeah.
Here is LeBron on what it will take him if he decides to come back next season.
I think for me, it's about the process. Like, you know, if I can commit to still being in love with the process of showing up to the arena 5.5 hours before a game to start preparing for a game, you know, giving everything I got, diving for loose balls and doing everything that you know that it takes to go out and play, and you know, showing up to practices, you know, 11 o'clock practice, I'm there at 8 o'clock, preparing my body, preparing my mind, preparing to practice, to put the work in. And you know, so I think for me, I've always been in love with the process and not the, you know, the aftermath of like, okay, well, we won that game or we won a championship or I got, like, I've always enjoyed the process and not and more than the outcome, you know. So I think that will be a big factor. And then also, you know, have a conversation with my 12-year-old daughter, you know, that's a big factor. And my 19-year-old son is entering his second year at Arizona, you know, and my wife as well. So they're huge factor in any decision I've made. So they'll be a big part of it as well.
They showed Savannah James on the broadcast last night, and I don't know about you, but they made the point of how many games she's probably watched in her lifetime because they've been dating since high school.
Yeah.
And I just laugh because I'm like, she had the face of somebody's like, dude, I'm so tired of watching these games.
I'm so ready to not
we stop
to these
coming
anymore?
To basketball. Like, I'll go to Bronny's games. I'll go to Bryce Maximus's games if he ever goes to the league. I'm so tired of this.
That's the unfortunate part for her is it ain't going to end anytime soon.
when her daughter's a high level, I guess probably going to be a high level volleyball player too.
One is ending and two are just beginning.
So he averaged 26-7 this year as the third banana of the Luka AR trio. He talked about that a little bit last night of like, this is the first time in my career, I think he's the first time in my life I've ever had to kind of be the third of something. He's not accustomed to it.
Yeah, take a different role on.
I'm of the opinion, because Luka was asked if he's going to recruit, and he kind of smiled and said, you will see. I could be off on this. Cleveland losing to Detroit may change some of this thinking. Maybe the best scenario of ride-out year is Cleveland. You know, came into the league, go out of the league, be a Cav. Maybe the Cavs have a shot. I don't know. I also just think he could come back for a very discounted cheap rate, even though it's LeBron, and say, I want to just stay in L.A. Bronny's here.
Right.
I'm very close to Arizona. My daughter's in volleyball now. I don't want to have to commute, so I'm going to stay here. I'll take a super cheap contract. You guys will have a slot opened up. You can sign Austin Reeves and still get another star.
Yes, you can.
And maybe the pathway is to just stay in L.A. and retire. It's crazy to say this. The longest consecutive tenured run with an organization for him is the Lakers.
That's pretty wild.
It's the Lakers.
Because the Cleveland run was two
was
different
runs. Two.
Two different ones. What was he, 6 years in Miami? Five or six?
Four,
Well, that was it.
Yeah, it was four.
It was four and done. They went to four straight finals.
Lost, one loss, yeah. out.
Out.
And then Cleveland was the same thing. 4 years, and then he became a Laker.
Went to the finals every year.
Yeah. It's funny because he should have six, but, you know, I digress.
Kevin Durant got in the way of that by cheating. Yeah, I think I've reached a point. Like, I remember arguing at the deadline. I could see him going to Cleveland and going out that way, right? Let's return home. And then the comments came out. He's big in the YouTube golf space now.
Yeah.
And he's on
He's trying to post his own content.
He's on Bob Does Sports. He's like, man, I don't want to go to Milwaukee. I don't even want to go to Cleveland. And that might not have been in the episode. That might have been the follow-up.
Memphis, quote, Memphis and Milwaukee.
But then he was asked about it. And he was like, I don't even want to go back to Akron. So I think that idea is out. If you don't want to go stay for a night to play in Cleveland, then I don't think you want to go live in Cleveland.
His whole ecosystem
like,
is in
LA
now.
It's all LA. So I've reached the point that I would be genuinely surprised if he were to be in any other uniform than a Laker uniform.
What about
next
the Clips?
Year. I just don't.
They're in an interesting spot. I don't think they're going to trade Kawhi.
If you're him though, what does that? Unless you're looking for a max slot or so, I don't know what their finances are like. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, they've been talking about Golden State with him.
Yeah, to go play with Steph for a year.
And I'm not saying it won't happen. I kind of personally don't think it will. I'm not saying it's impossible.
Golden State also has some tough financial situations they got to figure out.
Well, they'd have to make a trade. Jimmy Butler would have to be bye-bye. Draymond Green. You know, there's some interesting choices there. But also, like, it's not like San Francisco's 20 minutes away.
No. It is much further away than that.
It's much further than that.
And it's a change of your life, and you're away from your family more, and your high school daughter's not moving out of L.A. at this point. So, the ecosystem staying close by, I would be shocked if he's not in a Laker uniform.
I kind of lean that way, too. Now, do you guys buy the retirement tour, or do you think he's going to retire?
I'm not going to go as low as saying there's a 0% chance. I certainly don't think that he will retire.
It would be odd for him to just straight retire.
It would be very odd.
We never, that's just it.
He had a quote, though, in one of these interviews where he talked about his post-playing days. Now, I don't know if this is, Aaron Rodgers had said similar things, and I don't believe him for a second.
Sure.
But basically, when I'm done, you're not going to hear from me for a while. And so if that's the way you want your retirement to go, it'd be a hell of a way to,
Just start it by a random announcement
in the middle of July, hey, by the way, I'm done. Hell of a run, 41, 23 out, and then just retire. I don't think he's going to do it.
Almost all the greats have the goodbye tour.
They do. They almost always do. I'd put it at a 5% chance maybe that it happens. I just think, too, with your body, you sit around for a month or two, and you're like, God, this is nice. And your feet, you can't walk. You got to get up every morning.
Do you really want
to put your body through that for another year? That's a tough thing to do.
Did you see Rui Hachimura was at the press conference before LeBron? And as soon as LeBron walked into the media room, Rui saw him, turned, and literally stopped talking, stood up, and left.
He's like, all right, you didn't hear from me.
No, they asked him a question. He was talking. He turns to his left. He sees LeBron, and he just drops the mic. He's like, all right,
I'm getting the hell out of here. My
time's up.
LeBron just started laughing. He's like, dude, okay.
You can keep going, man.
But all right, whatever. So LeBron, Lakers eliminating the Thunder are an absolute wagon. Loaded second hour of the program. Lane Kiffin talks. And is this guy a villain in college football that is losing his power day by day? Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.